My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Libby Warble. She's the Director of Public Programming and Engagement at the Lumber Room. And the current show there is called Finding Our Way, and it's on through the end of 2020. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Libby.
I'm so happy to be here, and thanks for showing interest in our exhibit.
So the Lumber Room is one of those spaces where it's in the Pearl on 9th Avenue next to Liz Leach, and you go in, and it's somebody's home, but as you come in the ground floor kind of hallway, there's this big blue concrete floor that's been installed. It looks like kind of blue foam, like insulation foam. It's kind of rough. It's got things embedded in it, like glass balls and things. It's in sections, and it takes up the slope of the floor. So by the end of it, there's a ramp down. It's kind of hard to describe. It's very rough, and it's the kind of thing you would think was not to code in terms of the building code here. So just tell us, who made this work of art, and why is it here in the Lumber Room?
The piece you're describing is made by the artist named Kate Newby, and this piece, as a part of this exhibition called Finding Our Way, also harkens back to our last exhibit, which was a year-long residency with the artist Kate Newby, where she came back multiple times over the year and created these large-scale interventions with our space. So when you walk into the space, you are greeted with this kind of immediate challenge of a large blue ramp that you're not sure if you're supposed to walk on or what exactly it is. And I think that that really speaks to Kate Newby and her practice at large, because she is often really interested with engaging the viewer and challenging them to kind of question what is art and where does it belong and who is it for. Yeah, it's her exhibition was titled A Puzzling Light and Moving, and that show speaks a little bit more to what we do here at the Lumber Room, which is we create our exhibitions for the artists or the work that we're showing, and not the other way around. We really try to make and accommodate anything that the artwork demands. And for Kate, she really wanted to kind of come back and return over and over again and build on the show that she was making with us. And we saw a lot of new work added over the year and some taken away. This ramp is very extensive and took a lot of labor to install, so we have left it on kind of as like a long-term view and have incorporated it into this new exhibit.
I mean, it's really in the way. It blocks the whole corridor. Like, I came in and I thought, am I allowed to walk on this or not? Is there another door? Is there another stairway around it? And then you kind of have to decide, okay, it does look soft, but it's actually concrete. And it's just, you know, it's very weird. And the idea that someone would invite someone to do this in our home is also kind of weird.
Yeah.
So explain who lives here and what's their relationship to art.
You're standing in the Lumber Room, which is the home to an art collector named Sarah Miller Miggs. She owns this building with Elizabeth Leach Gallery. We're on the second floor. But to get to us, you do have to come through this initial hallway, which we kind of created a gallery space around as well. When you enter the Lumber Room, you're greeted with a large, open space that has hosted exhibitions for over 10 years now. But it also does operate as a home for the collector and her family. They live most of the time in Corvallis, where Sarah's husband, Andrew Miggs, is a tenured professor of geology at Oregon State. But when they are in Portland, which is quite often, they live here and share the space with Sarah's kind of more in-depth worldly art collection. I work here with Sarah to kind of create opportunities for access to the collection, or potentially sometimes to host performances, lectures, workshops with the resource of this space.
The public can go online, look at lumberroom.com and look around, and then email you and say, you know, they'd like to come and have a look. What kind of people come here? Because I know there's also a research library here.
We are a public space in the sense that we really do want people to be able to access this amazing collection. But since we have to deal with the dynamics of it also being a home and people living here occasionally, or sometimes we have artists who are living here and making work, we try to operate kind of adaptively based on what the space is at the time. So sometimes we'll have large public performances where our doors open and people just come in. We have a lot of exhibits that will have regular public viewing hours. And right now, because of the current climate, we are just opening this exhibit by appointment only, but we really do encourage people to come and spend time with this work. Most often we find ourselves visited by student groups, graduate research students, curators visiting from out of town, and also a lot of artists who are a part of the collection who want to come see where their art lives.
Let's go upstairs and take a look at this current show. We're now in the main room here in the lumber room. It feels like a gallery. You know, the walls are white. It's a lovely polished wooden floor. Tell us what they built around the edge, a kind of mantle to show off the art.
A part of the exhibit design for this show, we decided to build these large kind of stretching shelves along our wall that we do call mantle, sort of. They're supposed to kind of be reminiscent of a hearth or somebody's home where you would potentially put a few valuable possessions or kind of key figures you want to see in your home. We created these shelves to act as kind of flex hosts for lots of different work as we rotated the show kind of frequently. That's a part of the design of this exhibit as well, is that we are rotating works in and around. So we make small vignettes of groups of works together, just based on how we're feeling that month or that season, and you get to see a lot of really interesting conversations starting to take place between these artworks.
The show is called Finding Our Way, and it's all from the collection of Sarah Miller Meigs. I was kind of surprised, and pleasantly surprised, to walk around the corner and find a Cornelia Parker. So this piece is called Unsettled Jerusalem. It's from 2012. And first time I saw it, I just saw a bunch of wood leaning against the wall. And I didn't realize that it's all hanging by wires, and it's all elevated about a couple of inches off the floor, maybe an inch by the wires, and it's not leaning against the wall either. It's sort of held back. So it's this elaborate, you know, marionette piece. So she found this wood in Jerusalem, and just tell us a bit more about, you know, what it represents.
Like many of her works, Parker incorporates materials that go often unnoticed. In this case, she gathered a bunch of weathered planks of wood that she found walking along the streets of Jerusalem. She left it fairly untreated. It's very raw, kind of debris wood planks that if you did, like you said, turn a corner and see a pile of them on the wall, you wouldn't take much notice. But then you find this kind of laborious process where everything is essentially levitating, not touching any surface. She's talked about her work in a lot of really interesting ways, but I found a quote of hers really interesting. She said, her work is constantly unstable, in flux, lent against a wall, hovering, or so fragile it might collapse. Perhaps that's what I feel about my own relationship to the world. It is a universal condition, that of vulnerability. We don't have solid, fixed lives. We're constantly dealing with what life throws at us. I always feel like her works are really charged. They're made with discarded objects, but she gives new, very impactful meaning to them by creating these large formats.
She's also known for her exploded works where, you know, if you can imagine something explodes and all the pieces are heading outwards from the center,
right.
But they're all hanging. But this is more, this is a lot quieter. This is, you know, the action is very limited. It's just levitating.
Yeah.
And it's very quiet. But it's been given a whole section in this room. It's got like a whole end to a huge room. Do you know anything about Sarah Miller Meigs' relationship with Cornelia Parker?
That's the interesting part about Finding Our Way, is this exhibit really gives you insight to Sarah as a collector, what she's interested in, and the ideas she supports. Cornelia Parker is a great example in the sense that she's an artist that Sarah has followed for many years and really admires, and this piece became available and felt like a really special addition to the collection. A work like this wouldn't necessarily get to live in a home because of the size and scale of it and also the installation process. A bunch of hanging wood off of the ceiling doesn't necessarily fit well in a small apartment or living room. Mm-hmm. But that's really what the lumber room gets to be. It gets to be a home, but it also gets to be this space where huge, beautiful installations can take place and live side by side the collector. Mm-hmm.
So I imagine this is kind of looks really sad when it's in storage. It's a bunch of wires and
it looks like a bunch of wood piled together.
Uh-huh. But the beautiful thing about this show is you take everything, you take things from the collection, and give them some space, and then rotate them. Tell us about this piece. It looks like black sandstone faces carved. It's on a white plinth, and I know you don't normally do white plinths here. But this one's special, probably like a 3 feet tall piece. It's at waist level, and the faces look kind of Mayan or African. There's a headdress. They're kind of abstract too. The faces blend into each other. What's it called, and what's it made of?
So this piece is by the artist Lonnie Hawley. It's titled The Way They Saw Things, and it's from 1997, and it's carved entirely out of sandstone. We're big fans of Lonnie Hawley here, and have a few of his pieces in the collection. This is definitely the earliest. He started making work out of sandstone. He's from Birmingham, Alabama, and sandstone carvings that happened there, which kind of were his first foray into sculpture, were kind of created out of the fact that he had access to the foundries near him that would regularly discard stone linings used for industrial molds. And he started carving faces and what he saw throughout them. He's since gone on to get more experimental with found objects and build large-scale yard art or huge sculptures that have ended up in a lot of different museums. He's also a really phenomenal musician, and we've had him perform here at the Lumber Room. Something that's really cool about him is that he is completely improvisational, both with his sculpture work and his artwork and his music. So you'll never get to hear the same song twice. He always performs a song, and that's the only time you'll ever hear it.
My name's Joseph Galvin. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Libby Warble. She is the Director of Public Programming and Engagement at the Lumber Room in the Pearl, and she's talking about a show called Finding Our Way, which is up now through the end of 2020. On the mantle, I think, given Pride of Place, is a huge purple painting. Abstract, I think. It looks like it could be a door open into another space, but it's a purple with stripes of black, pink, red, and green, and turquoise, and then a kind of a brown parallelogram next to them. Just tell us who this is by and why is it in the middle?
There's no particular reason that this work is in the middle, but it is quite large. It's by artist Mary Obering. It's titled Window Series Number 2, and it was made in 1973. It is a large form, abstracted piece, a lot of colors taking place on this large plane of blue. Mary Obering was kind of a minimalist painter that had contemporaries such as Carl Andre, Donald Judd, or Saul LeWitt. And through these paintings, she was really interested in kind of exploring a scientific approach to color and abstraction. In her work, Obering uses techniques of perspective to angle and section off different colors and create the illusion that the painting is moving outwards or inwards, depending on the observer's point of view. She's been likened to Mark Rothko.
The colored pieces are actual canvas that's been cut out and laid on top.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like swatches of material. They're on top of each other, different lengths. but the basic background canvas is solid purple. It's a huge piece. Also kind of pride of place in the corner is a huge black and white photo of two women. One is looking sideways. The woman in the foreground is looking sideways with her eyes down or closed. And then behind her, with one eye visible to us, looking directly at us and at the camera, is a younger woman. It's a black and white photo. Who took it?
This photo actually, I believe, was taken collaboratively. It's by the artist LaToya Ruby Frazier, and it's from a series of hers called The Notions of Family. It features prominently images of her, her mother, and her grandmother. It's a picture of LaToya Ruby Frazier and her mother, titled Mommy 2008. And it's actually titled that way because it's in conjunction, both mom and me are in the title, because it's from a series where her and her mom kind of went back and forth taking photos. LaToya Ruby Frazier is from outside of Pittsburgh and focuses most of her work on black families and the black experience, especially being marginalized. She's from a town that in the industry, the steel industry, really affected the people who lived near there, and talks a lot in her work about the health and disregard that was like a part of the impact of living where she lived. She's a phenomenal artist. We're really so happy to have this piece as a part of the collection, and are huge fans of hers.
Can the listeners to Art Focus see these pictures on the lumberroom.com?
Yeah, this exhibit's online, available to view. We have a virtual tour online, and you can see the work there.
I don't know what you call this. It's sticking out of the wall. It's a sculpture on the wall. It could be a volcano we're looking down into. It has very angular sections to it, so it's like a contour map, but the pieces seem to be stitched together or stapled together. It's the whole thing is browny gray.
It's called Untitled Relief. It's by the artist Lee Bontague, and it's from 1960. It's a smaller piece of hers that was first available her first solo show at Lee Castelli Gallery in New York in 1960. I think it actually came from her studio. What you're kind of referencing is this kind of central void. She's really interested in both natural materials and kind of industrial materials in her sculpture, and would make these images or abstractions that would kind of come out from the wall and suck you in. That's what she's most famous for. She likes to reference kind of this central black hole as like from her interest in space exploration, and kind of creating an opportunity to kind of enter a void.
Yeah, the black hole is actually really black. Like, if you have to put your head almost in it to see where it ends. It's actually quite shallow. And the material is canvas, right? Is it stretched?
It's raw canvas that's kind of stitched and stretched through this big steel infrastructure.
Yeah, so all the dark lines that look like contours are all steel kind of wire or bars. And then there's little steel wire that's been twisted off where it's been used to secure it. And the whole thing, you know, the metal is slightly rusty. The whole thing looks aged. You say it's from the 60s?
Yes.
So this is, you know, it's a personal space. The family lives here when they're in town. One half of the space feels like a big gallery. And then you get into this half, which is the huge kitchen. And there's a living room and a patio, an outdoor patio. And on the counter here, on this marble counter, you've got a set of dishes. And these are made specifically for this room, correct?
Yeah. A really fun part of the lumber room is that we like to work with artists to commission works that can be integrated into the domestic experience of the home. So we had an artist make our curtains. We've had an artist make our tables. And what Joseph is looking at is a dish set that we had commissioned by the artist named Johanna Jackson. This piece is from 2020. It was commissioned for this exhibition, in fact, and it's on view displayed above our kitchen counter. The title of this piece is called Set of Dishes and Service Items with Unbroken Stripes, Square Fruit, Roses in Three Life Stages, a basic pattern inherited from my father, a basic pattern not inherited from my father, drifting checkers, traced shadows, body colors, and drawing marks separate and together, and it's all glazed porcelain. What I really like about Johanna Jackson's method in making is each of these objects on their own, a cup or a plate or a platter, is essentially a drawing or a painting on an object that she also made. And no two pieces are alike. They're all unique in their own right, but together they kind of form this this kind of imagination or a special world where Jackson kind of takes you in and helps you understand her visual language. She really is interested in highlighting kind of small dents or imperfections in her clay work and highlighting them and celebrating them. So she'll circle a part of the cup that has a little kind of imprint in it, or she'll actually trace the shadows that she saw made by the cup and black them out, as well as putting lots of different organic or natural images in and throughout it. It's a really special piece, and we're so lucky not only to share this with our viewers, but we get to eat and drink with this dish set as well.
Right. So if you fancied a bowl of ramen or a cup of coffee, would you actually come down and grab one of these and use it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not only do we get to do that, but that's what the dish set is intended for, is made by the artist for that purpose.
I just love this space. It's got huge ceilings. You know, it's all very Dwell magazine-y. Beautiful couch, art books everywhere. There's the library there. And then there's this big dark room with couches and beanbags. Tell us what it is and what's on in there today.
So you're referencing our screening room that we have installed essentially to host moving image artists. We're working with a lot of different artists who work with film to show their movies. So it's our black box theater, essentially, but it also can be and operate as a home theater for Sarah and her family. On view right now, we have a film titled Echale Sevilla. It was made in 2019, directed by Caitlin Diaz in collaboration with the local Portland local band Sevilla, and production support from Fran Patakis and Joop Joop Creative. The film, which you just got to see, is a film guided by the music project Sevilla. It finds the band interviewing their mothers as they speak on themes of Mexican-American identity, resilience, intergenerational healing, and beauty. And it was all filmed on a Super 8 camera. The film itself is kind of shown in two parts. The first half is these interviews with the artists and their mothers, and then it kind of turns into this psychedelic music video at the end where their mothers and the band members are interchangeable.
You could probably see this film on YouTube.
Yeah, I believe they've tried to make it available now online, so if you research Sevilla, they'll often kind of direct you to the film they just made. It's also on our website.
In this time where people aren't going out much and they're kind of worried about getting coronavirus, what would you say to the listener is the value of actually making an appointment and coming here? Who should come, do you think, when you can see a lot of it on the lumberroom.com?
I found that the people who have made appointments and come to visit us at the Lumber Room have gotten to have a moment of peace and potential reflection. There's something kind of related to a moment of normalcy, getting to look at a piece of art. That's what I've heard, at least, from people who have visited. But for me, it feels like you get to kind of visit a private museum. You're entering into a space that holds the art object in a high regard and wants to welcome in bodies to experience the art. And the fact that it does get to be a private viewing does guarantee kind of this sense of safety around not having to be too integrated in a public space right now. You get to have that art experience, but without too much risk.
I can't tell the listeners how beautiful it is here, and how sort of minimal and clean and tidy. So you do have this odd feeling of being in an institution, but also being in a home.
Well, the space itself was designed by the architect Randy Higgins in collaboration with designer Nicole Misty. And it took about 6 years for Randy and Nicole and Sarah to kind of lay out every single aspect of the space. It's really built with a lot of intention, and exactly that, and exactly what you were speaking to, where it's minimal and it can kind of be adaptive and host a lot of different things. Because I know that's what they wanted for the space. They wanted it to be a space that could hold a music performance, that could hold a lecture with a large amount of people, but could also hold a family and like a family's needs to eat a meal together, to host friends and family. And it also gets to be this really special residency opportunity for artists that get to come live here and make new work. We've been exhibiting work for about 10 years, and every show is different. No two shows are alike. Because we aren't a commercial gallery and we're not trying to sell art, and we also aren't a museum or an institution that is bound to have, you know, a board and a hierarchy of power and decision making, we really get to make our own rules here and have exhibitions designed around the art.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Libby Warble. She's the Director of Public Programming and Engagement at the Lumber Room on Northwest 9th Avenue in the Pearl. The show Finding Our Way is taken from the collection of Sarah Miller Miggs, and it runs through the end of 2020 and is available by appointment only. It's free, and you go to lumberroom.com. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Libby.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hi, I'm Joseph Gallivan, the host of Art Focus. I'm asking you to help support us with our fall fundraising goal. We're trying to raise $60,000. Have you got any extra funds you can donate right now? Then go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Join the thousands of KBOO members who believe in volunteer-powered, listener-supported community radio today.
Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he's fast asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy Warhol, let's a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol, let's a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Organizando KDOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Esta es una sección especial en español en respuesta a la emergencia.